Welcome back to the 9 till noon show. We're into the second hour here now. A caller says, why not spend that 10 billion we got in tax last month and purchase a gunboat and sink the Norwegian trawlers that are plundering our waters? Yeah, I think that kind of is what you might call war. But yeah, I'll take your point. Greg, more waffle in 5 years, massive payments for a group set up to pretend to look after the Irish fishing, while the Russians, Norwegians and Iceland give two fingers to the EU and carry on depleting the stocks. A total sham. Micheál Martin says a listener has presided over the district destruction of the fishing industry. Now he's pretending to be concerned as if he's only arrived at the scene of the crash. He was at the wheel and should be held accountable. His love affair and loyalty to the EU has created this catastrophic situation. Another caller says no country is going to listen to any advice on saving the fishing industry. Whilst another says Nordic countries will continue to do what they're doing and Ireland will do what we're always told to do because we are good Europeans. The science is working on a 50% chance that the advice will work. Why don't we catch our 40,000 tonnes in the few weeks it will take in 2026 and monitor the stocks and put our own scientific research into the stocks? Okay, thank you very much for that. On a varied range of topics now. On business rates, perhaps we should give the council a 20 or 30% increase as they're doing such a wonderful job in tackling the traffic problem in Letterkenny, says a listener. Tongue-in-cheek, I would imagine. Greg, at long last, the Ballina Buffet Stranorlar councillors are listening to the people read the pedestrian crossings at the Bank of Ireland Ballina Buffet. Why did they ever vote and agree on it in the first place? What bright spark in the council signed off on this crossing? Surely they should be named. I remember reading at the time that these crossings were an experiment, so did they wait until a pedestrian was knocked down and injured to realise the experiment has failed big time? Well, the TII were behind this because this is a main route. What the council's role in it specifically, I don't know, but this is Transport and Infrastructure Ireland, which would be primarily responsible. But listen, from day one, I don't think they were actually even officially launched, and it was very, very clear on this programme that they were a disaster. And now here we are. It must be, I don't know how long it is, two years later, and finally the penny's dropped. Is there a DNA test or a blood test that would confirm the age of a person? Not quite sure. I don't think there's anything specific in that regard, to be honest with you. Greg, what is wrong with you saying that about Mr. Burke? This man is standing up for his God-given right. Why should he change his beliefs because the state says he must? It's the state should be in jail, my God, man. There is only a man and woman there. There's nothing else in the world. You didn't really perhaps get exactly what I was saying. I never said anything about him giving up his rights. He's never going back into that school. And you're his supporter. And I'm saying, and it was just a suppose, it's not something I concern myself too much. That guy's in prison, right, with murderers and rapists and child abusers. He's in prison. He'll be in prison over Christmas. And for what? At this point, for what? He is never going back to that school. And it's easy for us to sit at home, if you're a supporter of his, it's easy for you to sit at home and say, how could you say that about Mr. Burke? It's not you or I that have to do the time. It's he. And his family are outside sort of going, yes, he should, he needs to. That man could be in prison for the rest of his life because he's breaching a court order not to go back to that school. And whether he does or doesn't, it doesn't even address his appeal to his dismissal from that school for the reason of his confrontation of staff there over his refusal to use they, them pronouns. So, as I say, he can stay in prison for the rest of his life if he wants to. That's completely up to him. And his supporters can say, great, but they're not having to be in prison, eating slop and socialising with the type of people I've just mentioned. So that's all I was saying, which I thought I was quite clear, but clearly not. A caller says judicial reviews are not the planning problem, but bad planning and ignoring the laws that protect the environment are. Indeed, we got that one in yesterday. The Fianna Fáil review of its handling of the presidential election could be delayed until after Christmas. Then this government say, trust us. That's a kind of an internal Fianna Fáil matter. So I don't think it's separate to government, is it? I don't know. Only in Ireland would we take a war president into our country and give him over 100 million to kill people while our own people suffer. Well, they say that what are they saying? That it's for non-military reasons. Brilliant, Greg, get to the truth. I'm not sure what that's in relation to. Hi, a courier has lost his wallet out delivering to Dunlow, Letchamack Ward and Ardra areas while delivering to houses. If people could keep an eye out and if found, maybe contact. Much appreciated. Right, so these guys and girls are dead busy at this time of year. They're fantastic, actually, you know, up and down the byways and highways, all over the place, making sure that everyone gets their stuff. They're flat out, so fair play to them and the on-post teams too. They just fly around the place making... making deliveries. They do fantastic work. But anyway, one was doing his work in the west of the county. So he was in Dunlow, Letchamack Ward and Ardra. So if you found a wallet on your driveway or what have you, then it's the couriers. So you can get in contact with us and we can pass on that number to you. It'd be great to get it back to them, wouldn't it? So did you find a wallet in the Dunlow, Letchamack Ward, Ardra areas? But more generally speaking, if you come across a wallet, you never know where you've lost it. Get it back to that courier, because I'm sure they have their own plans. Just a heads up on a text message scam that's going around. Just to be very clear now, the days where it had to be an African number, a European number, they're gone now because they can clone any number that they like. And the new scam at the moment is purporting to be from the credit union. And it says a new payee, Jamie Smith, very general, has been added to your account. Call us immediately on 048-252-1568 if this wasn't you. Did we call that number? I wonder what. Did you call that number out of interest to anyone? No? Caroline? No? Did we call that credit union scam number? No? Be interesting too. It's an 048 number, so it's how you dial into the North from the Republic, just to see what they say. I'd imagine it will be a recorded message. Eventually, what they will do, though, is try and scam you. Right, now, festive Christmas tea is taking place tomorrow between 10:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. in the Meva Family Resource Centre in Downings. You're invited to come along, sample the festive delights and browse the bric-a-brac sale. Donations of baking are welcome. So it's to support the Christmas raffle. It's tomorrow in the Meva Family Resource Centre Downings between 10:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. So get along to that. Nice wee poster they've done up there with Santi pointing to support our raffle. Was there something else that I wanted to give a plug to? Anyway, I can do it at any stage. I can do it at any stage throughout the morning. Right, let us take a break. Amy Rose Carey from Farn is off to the toy show. I'm wondering if you could wish her well, Greg. Yes, indeed. I'd love to chat to Amy Rose as well. It's no problem at all. I presume we've been reaching out in that regard. Of course, anytime anyone in this region is doing well, we want to give them a platform and have a chat, but certainly cheer them on. And it'll be an extra reason for people to watch that show tomorrow night. It is tomorrow night, isn't it? Yeah. Let's head south to Donegal Town. Eugene Gallen is owner of the Eurosaver and member of the Donegal Town Business Focus Group. Morning, Eugene. Good to chat to you again.
Good morning, Greg.
Right. So you're concerned at, which is kind of ironic given the huge investment in the Garda station in Donegal Town, you're concerned about a lack of Gardaí. Talk to me about the incident that sort of copper fastened this point of view of yours.
Well, this is sort of the straw that broke the camel's back yesterday for me, in a way. But we've been met the local sergeant here 2 weeks ago. He's a really good fella, and Sergeant Devaney, and a brilliant man. And he does a lot of he does his best. He's no manpower. Yesterday, for example, I was in the shop, and one of my assistants told me I was serving a man and woman, and they brought to my attention this boy was on stealing. So I seen him open the door, got up and I reached for him. And I kind of jostled a bit, but I didn't let him out the door. Then I pushed him out the door and I held on to him. Be good luck. I seen the Gardaí car coming, so I started whistling and roaring, and the boy pulled up on the blue flashers. And I says to him, this boy's here, Stephen, around the town. And this particular individual is the town tortured. He's come on the scene 6 weeks ago, so I don't know him really. But anyway, I don't know what story, so I'm not going to go into details about him as much. But anyway, I was explaining, and the guard said to me, I'm on my own. And I said, what's that guy doing? I said, he's going to arrest him. He says, he's only after taking him back from court. And I says, what? And I said, you dropped him off again, and he's stealing before you've left the town. And then I was a bit angry, and then the boy started folding himself, and he said, oh, he assaulted me, he said. And the gentleman had actually been serving came out, and he talked to the guard and he says, listen, I'm an off-duty Metropolitan Police member. I said, I'm on holidays. Some man didn't touch him. He said, he was stealing. He says, that's what he was doing. He said, and he caught him. And I said, thanks very much. I said, you didn't need to do that. But I said, appreciate it. The guard said, I know. I said, listen, I'm leaving you with it. I left him. And this has been on for a while around the town. We're probably a victim of our own success in Donegal Town. It's become really busy, busy town this last couple of years with tourism. And now even this time of year, people from all over are coming. But some days, the station wasn't open yesterday, Greg. Wasn't open. And I've had I've talked to the sergeant. Frustration. They haven't got no manpower. Nobody to help them. A couple of yards on. You know, and I was saying to him, the only thing that's effective, if you see a guard walking around the town, one or two, just walking around, you know, not all day, but showing a presence, not in doing paperwork too. This is another problem they have them doing this stuff, you know, get civilians in to do that. But we have a real issue here in Donegal Town. We have a state-of-the-art Garda station, Greg. It's like having a state-of-the-art football stadium and having four footballers. That's exactly what it's like.
Yeah. Just to backtrack a little bit, was the person arrested in the end?
Yeah.
I would say he wouldn't have been held too long if he was, because the boy was on his own. He'd come back up to... He wasn't from Donegal Town. I was that mad, and I didn't want to, because I was cross, but I don't want him to get out of the guard, because I understand, really, it wasn't his problem. It wasn't his fault.
But he's got protocols to follow as well, so I'm not sure. Maybe maybe just in terms of the protocols, the two Gardaí are required. You know, Eugene, the guard said to you, and this is anecdotal, the guard said to you that the person that you had restrained for shoplifting in your shop had just been dropped back from court into the town and went straight to your shop. Yes. And allegedly engaged in shoplifting there.
Before he had left, I'm on camera, and then he was cute. He started to make out that I assaulted him, but off camera, so we could see that. And there's cameras outside the shop, the pub beside me, the bank bar, and the fella come out. He was enough. He just happened to pure coincidence. He was an off-duty metropolitan police officer. And he spoke up for me and said about your man, like so. It was, but hey, this guy, he's out of every shop. And he's come on the scene 6 weeks ago. He's everybody tortured. There's a wee girl in with me from another shop. And she's petrified of him. Now, this is only one incident. She's afraid doing her job. The girl who works for me is afraid. A lot of people are afraid, not just of him. I know a lot of it's a petty crime, but there's some of it not so petty. And when somebody's afraid coming to their work, the only thing sorts that out, if you have a guard of presence, you can phone a guard. The guards are trained to deal with these situations, and they're very good at it.
Yeah.
But, it's not our job. It's not my job to restrain boys, start jostling them. And I'm not going to touch them, because I know I'll end up. And I'll end up in bother.
But you see, the problem is the problem that these guys know that too, right? They know they know that as well.
They do.
Yeah.
Listen, the amount of stuff that shops lost from theft, it is unreal.
Do you think this is a particularly new feature of life in Donegal Town? As you would know, Eugene, I spent a lot of time around the town.
I've noticed it bad.
It's not something that was an everyday conversation, right? There's always instances, right? But this seems new.
I came here in 2004, Greg, the start of 2004. So I'm here a long time now, and I love the town, the people from the surrounding areas, like from Kilchar, Ballantra, Lye, all over. It's great crack, great local people, and it's a brilliant town to come to, and it's a joy to come to work. But I've noticed that we've probably become a victim of our own success. There's so many different people coming, and it's not different people. It could be anybody. Now, don't get me wrong, this isn't just, you'll be surprised some of the people that does this even. There's no resources. They've been cut back. When I come here, there was no problem. There was plenty of guards. No, it's cut back.
I remember going into the Garda station in Donegal Town and to get something signed, and there'd be two Gardaí milling about and maybe one that would deal with you at the front desk. So yesterday the Garda station was unoccupied.
It was closed, locked up.
So presumably then the focus now is on Ballyshannon as the district HQ, and that big, massive 2 or 3 million euro Garda station now is the same as the one with the green knob on it outside it in Ballantra that used to be there. That's really what it's become then, hasn't it?
But I'm not being disrespectful, but Donegal Town is away the busiest town after Letterkenny over here. I'm telling you, with football, you didn't have to go to ask the tourism office. The amount of people comes here,
It's the gateway to the county as well. You've got the development going on just down the road from you now. Every night, it's pretty busy. There's events on and what have you. It's a real destination.
There's not many empty shop units here. And with a big, McCafferty's opening a big place down where Pier 1 was. Fantastic place. Across the road, Paul Kennedy's opening local fish and chip shop again, okay. And we're in Four Lanterns closed. Like, things is happening here, and it's always happening. We've 80 members in the business focus group, and we're on about these issues. Like, it's a great problem to have all these people coming, but you do need effective policing.
There's
I
just want to say something though in defence of the Gardaí, because if I was a guard, I'd be incredibly frustrated. There's a serious issue with this rotating door where people can commit a crime and come back out again and commit that crime, get legal aid, go through the risk. Understanding is this person that we're talking of, you know, in one business alone has been reported 7 times. You know, so what do you do as a guard? It's very frustrating.
The guards have my total sympathy. The guards here are brilliant. There's a fact. Like, there's no issue. They're very, and we always have had good guards here and do a good job, but their job has become impossible with, you know, shortage. You can't do nothing if you haven't the manpower to do it. And that's the truth. And it's not a political point here, but they need to look. The Minister for Justice, Jim O'Callaghan, needs to look. You know, whatever it takes to get more guards.
Yeah, but it's the model
of
policing. You see, the idea now is that the guards aren't in the station. They're out and about. They're able to respond where they need to respond. Like, it'd be really interesting if that... did that guard radio for support? And, you know what I mean? And how quickly would that be incoming? Where would those squad cars be? They could be in Pettigo, you know?
There's many days here there's absolutely no presence at all. And a big town like this, a busy town, it's not feasible. Like, they need to look at this. We're, shopkeepers are paying their way. Like, and we're, like, you know, all, you heard you chatting to on their Letterkenny, the chamber or whatever, and the rates and stuff like that. We pay rates, with all these things to deal with. We don't mind that. But, you know,
what's
we
the
want
return?
The government to provide us with proper service.
Yeah, what's the return for it?
Like,
yeah, I get you.
And all these new, and there's new taxes for this and new taxes for that. That's all right. But give us something for it. You know, we're not, policing is a serious issue. Like, we need more guards here. Right. Like, we're doing all town, big time.
All right, Eugene, listen, thanks for that. Before I let you go, what's the big seller?
Listen, appreciate
what's the big seller coming up to Christmas in the shop?
Demon Hunters. They're really crazy for them. There was Labubus, but Demon Hunters.
And what is a Labubu? What is a Labubu? I was visiting Santa and a couple of the girls and we're looking for Labubu. Yep. What's Labubu?
Labubu is a strange character that appeared this year. My brother would be in China about 4 or 5 times a year.
Yeah.
The latest trend, he gets these. And he told me, I'm going to give show you a picture of this thing. You must buy them. And I said, you're off your rocker. I said, they look like nothing. They'll not sell. He says, well, I'll put them into you. And he says, I'll give you back your money if they don't sell. I was phoning him within a week. And I said, I want more of them. Them's a lane. And same as these Demon Hunters. And he just happened to phone me when I was on my daughter's house. And my granddaughter was there and she's 5. And she could hear the conversation. And I said, come on, what's a Demon Hunter? And I could hear her, you know, just her breath. And she said to me, Granda, Demon Hunters. She said, I watch it every day on the TV. It's on Netflix.
I know Demon Hunters.
And it's massive.
But Labubu, they're like, I suppose Labubus are just another incarnation of these kind of toys we've seen down the years, aren't they? They're wee fluffy kind of creatures.
You know the closest thing you'd nearly say, like a gremlin?
Yeah,
you remember them?
Yeah. All right, okay.
Nearly a boy like that. Like, it's a strange type of thing, but I love them. And that's just a strange thing. It's one of these ideas that started, like, and it's... I never thought it would sell, but there you go.
Well, you should always listen to your brother. Know. That's what I've been telling my brother, Eugene. You always listen to me.
He's caught me in the past. He's caught me in the past, Craig.
All right, listen, well done. You're still a blow-in, by the way. 21 years still blowing in. Don't worry about that.
Always will be too. But here, I appreciate you ringing us. I appreciate that very much.
Keep listening. Take care of yourself. Right, that's Eugene Gallen. He's the owner of the Eurosaver and member of the Donegal Town Business Focus Group. Yeah, looking at these Labubus, they are like gremlins, aren't they? They're quite scary looking wee things. But there you go. And I think there's apps with them and all that kind of stuff. But they seem to be all the rage. So, hey, there's going to be a ton of Demon Hunters on The Late Show tomorrow night, I'd imagine, The Late Toy Show. And there's no doubt Labubu are going to feature, because when we were we managed to book, because we were spamming the website to Glenveagh. And there was a lovely wee storytelling room that all the children went into, and a lot of them looking for Labubu. Barbie still was mentioned. What else? Barbie was mentioned, Labubu, Demon Hunters. Barbie in the Dollhouse, that stuff's still very, very popular. So that's it. That's going to be the boys and girls, if they're really, really good. I'm sure lots of them are going to be looking for that off Santi, if they are good, and get to bed. Now, Strabane Town Centre's public realm scheme has been given the green light. Derry City and Strabane District Council's Planning Committee has this week approved a significant public realm improvement scheme for Strabane Town Centre. SDLP Councillor John Boyle joins me on the show now. Good morning, John. Thanks for your time.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning.
Right. So, talk to me about it. It's one of those. It's one of those things that it doesn't exactly say what's on the tin, right? It's a funny title. So, what does a public realm improvement scheme entail for Strabane?
It's actually a very good question. Well, obviously, the public realm is the streets that we walk upon and drive through. That's effectively what a public realm is. And this decision, it's a major one. It's a major investment, actually, as well. It's in and around £8 million to improve the overall public space experience for people. You know, the approved scheme will focus on realignment of some key junctions in Strabane Town Centre, specifically at Railway Street, Derry Road, and Abercorn Square, on Market Street, Church Street, Butcher Street. Basically, to improve traffic flow and safety, and just improve the public amenity, really. It also includes plans for extensive works for resurfacing of footpaths, the installation of new pedestrian crossing points, the introduction of new street furniture and planting, etc. And
so it's a major it's a major facelift then, isn't it? It gives a cleaner, more accessible, I presume, because that's bound to factor into it, pedestrian accessibility for people of all mobility, but also to get traffic moving quicker, tidy up junctions, tidy up the streets. It's just, it sounds to me like quite a significant facelift and reimagining.
Well, it's interesting you use the word facelift, because it is probably a facelift more again, you know. I mean, that's the reality of it. I mean, the Planning Committee yesterday, which I am chair of, were unanimous in the decision to approve the scheme, you know. And it's taken us some time to work it up, because it is such a major improvement scheme. And it will transform the appearance and the functionality of Strabane Town Centre. There's absolutely no doubt about that, Greg. You know, it'll certainly make it more attractive, and it will make it more accessible, of course.
Yeah, for sure. So you've got approval for it. You've got it costed. What about funding it, financing it? How does that work?
Well, that'll work through the usual rates process that we have, and we have it planned. But also, it will form part of what's called our city deal projects, and we have a lot of city deal projects in the offing in both Derry City and Strabane. This is one of our city deal projects, which is basically funded through UK government, a combination of UK government and the local council, etc. You know, so that's how it's funded, really, you know.
Yeah,
and it's very, very exciting.
What it means is there's an accessible pathway to funding it, because, you know, some of these ideas can be there, but you wonder then how they can be delivered. So that's good. And, you know, in the first instance, it's about sort of making it a nicer place for those that are there now. But these things can have a knock-on effect, make places more attractive to live, to work, to invest into, you know. I know it might sound a bit grandiose, that, but it does work like that. We've seen it elsewhere.
Yeah, I don't think it is grandiose, to be honest with you. I think you're completely correct in your assessment of that. You know, I mean, if we provide attractive spaces for people to work, rest and shop, etc., then that will encourage people to come into the town centre. Obviously, many of your listeners will be very familiar with Strabane Town Centre, and I think maybe, you know, people would readily admit that, you know, it's probably all looking a bit tired, and it really does need this kind of investment and work carried out, you know. So we're delighted to support it. We're delighted that it's going to happen. I don't actually have a time frame for when the works will start, unfortunately, at the minute, Greg. But one would, you know, I'd be very hopeful it'll not be
Hopefully, into
the future.
Because
anytime
you have,
I'm very confident it will happen. There's no doubt about that.
I hope so, because it's not unfamiliar for a big area that is next to a bigger area to sometimes feel like the poor relation, that everything seems to be going elsewhere. So, you know, in the Northwest, we feel that maybe it's hard to get stuff from Belfast and investment in this part of the world, right, or Dublin. But I presume, too, sometimes the people of Strabane feel that an awful lot of the attention of anything that does come to the Northwest goes to Derry. I'm not trying to say there's any split or divide there, but it's nice to see significant investment in Strabane.
Oh, yeah, we'll see much more as well in the coming years. You know, we've got plans for a new leisure centre there in the Canal Basin area, a health hub, etc. You know, so we will see an awful lot more of this sort of stuff in Strabane. And yeah, I'm actually a Derry City-based councillor, but I know Strabane well enough, you know. I'm not a great fan of the rivalry.
Yeah, but you know, that's because
we're all in it. I believe, Greg, honestly, we're all in it together.
We are.
We've got to try to make it work for everybody.
Of course we are, of course. But listen, I understand where you're coming from as well. Councillor, thanks for that. Take care of yourself. Councillor John Boyle there. Tomorrow, we are broadcasting live from Anne McGonagall's Glendone Craft Shop. We're going out to Clonmany, and the 9 till noon show is there to celebrate By Donegal Day 2025. You know, this initiative is seen as a fantastic opportunity for businesses in the area to showcase their products, their services, etc. And it can be anything from providing, you know, handmade crafts to vouchers for hairdressers, right? So all businesses are equal. And it's been developed by Donegal County Council, and it runs until December 19th. So we're going to be there tomorrow at Anne McGonagall's in Clonmany just to give it an extra push. Right, now I've tried to talk about this Secret Santa thing at different times of the show to give everyone a chance, because people tune in at different times. That's how I listen to radio, but most of you listen all the time, which is great. So we've teamed up with Cadbury Secret Santa this year for our prize. And it's part of their initiative again this year to give away 20,000 bars of chocolate. They're giving away that many this year. So you will see posters around the place, right? And you can nominate someone to receive a chocolate bar anonymously. It's a nice wee thing. As I say, check out the posters that are around the county. And to celebrate all of this, we're giving away €500 worth of One For All vouchers, effectively, their cash. So it's 250 for you who's nominating, but also €250 for the person you're nominating. And all we're asking is for you to tell us why they would be a worthy recipient of a Secret Santa bar. What's special about them? What do they do? How are they important to you? And it's all types of stories as well. We've had some amazing stories, but it could be that they're just really your social life or something. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to be too prescriptive. So text in or WhatsApp 086 60 25,000 who you think deserves a Secret Santa bar, and they could be getting much more than that too come Friday. You can also email comments at highlandradio.com. So we've had three winners so far, so they're three daily winners. And the prize is to go into the hat on Friday to win this prize of a €250 One For All voucher for you, the nominee, and a €250 voucher for the person that you've nominated, that special person. So text or WhatsApp 086 60 25,000, or email comments at highlandradio.com, and keep an eye out for these Cadbury Secret Santa signs across the county. They're special posters. You'll know them when you see them, and it means you can send a bar to someone in secret who's special to you, which is a nice wee thing. It must be very successful for them because they've been doing it for quite some time now. On policing in Donegal Town, brand new Garda station built, no Gardaí. It's a strange one. How was this man not arrested? I'm not sure if he was arrested. Another well-spoken Eugene Gallen. Stephen McGlynn on social media says Donegal's changed so much and not for the better. Another caller says another business has reported this same fella seven times for breaking and entering. Nothing's been done to date. They say he's also terrorising staff, and young girls have felt uncomfortable. So there you go. What's a short Gardaí going to do with a 6 foot 6 inch thief? Well, I mean, I would never underestimate people's size, to be honest with you. And that's a very extreme example. I think you know, you see the guards out and about, generally speaking. They're certainly of a certain stature. But if, you know, why should height be? If you can slap on a pair of cuffs and God knows, maybe even taser them now. You can post your letter to Santa in the Red North Pole box outside the Convoy Post Office, by the way. Just, I've been asked to mention that. No problem. Let me see. You're the same as RTE. The government propping you up. They did during COVID. You must go along with what they do. Explain to me what you mean by that. How am I going along with what the government say or do? I'm not going along with it, and I'm not going along with it, right? So what do you mean by that? I respect your opinion. You've thrown something out there. Send me another text and explain exactly what you mean. You know, put a bit of meat behind the accusation so that we can understand exactly what you mean by that. Because I don't mind criticism, but just give me some, you know? Don't just throw something out that doesn't make much sense. Enoch Burke doesn't recognise the court order is legally correct or legitimate, and I would say he's right, and I think in time this state will have to settle with him, and I for one hope he takes them for millions. It's quite simple. A court order is a court order. Whether you like it or not, the court order is for a specific reason. He's going to sit and rot in jail for a long time waiting for the state to settle with him. Greg, as I said before, you may not realise it, but you seem to have a lean to LGBT. Especially when you're talking about Enoch Burke and trying to give the impression that the justice system is squeaky clean. Not giving the impression the justice system is squeaky clean. It's far from it. In fact, I call out the justice system, particularly soft sentencing on people who are contributing in a very big way to child sexual abuse. I am no lovey of the courts, don't get me wrong. And I do think the courts are some of the sentencing from certain judges peculiar. Leaning to LGBT issues, I have no problem at all. I don't know what you're on about with LGBT issues. That includes lesbian and gay people, bisexual people, friends, family members, a part of that community. I have nothing against them at all whatsoever. And so if I'm being accused of leaning towards the lesbian, gay, bisexual community, no problem whatsoever. I'm not really over familiar with the whole trans debate and everything that follows that. I have my own personal views in relation to that, especially as it comes to children. And I'm not separating the T from the LGB. I'm not doing that because I'm familiar with elements of that and unfamiliar with others. I have my concerns in certain areas, which I've expressed on this show as a parent. But I'll lean in all day to LGB, no problem. And as I learn more about the rest that follows, we discuss it and what have you. I'm not anti anything as such. I'm very pro people's rights, but I'm also pro our right to make sure that children are cared for as they should be. I'm pro women's and girls' rights to their rights in this space as well. It's a complicated debate. So there you go. I hope that kind of somewhat answers that. Okay, I have to take a break and we'll be back with more after the Aoife Carraher is head of communications at the Ombudsman's for Children's Office. Good morning, Aoife. Sorry for holding you there.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
I'm good. Right. Now, we're talking in the context of this new survey, focusing, obviously, as you can imagine, on young people. And the survey shows, and it's by your office, that 2/3 of young people see extremist views online. So what are we talking about there, Aoife?
Yes, Greg. So we carried out this survey with children in secondary schools in Ireland, and 626 young people took part in 28 schools. So over the last couple of years, we have carried out surveys in schools on different issues. And last year, one of the things that came up was that discrimination was an issue for young people. So we were kind of thinking that might be something that's worth us looking into in a bit more detail. And then alongside that, we do workshops every week with young people. They come into our office and we see about 2,000 young people every year. And this idea of extremism and discrimination and gender roles was coming up all the time in the workshops that the young people were having with us. So then with those two elements, we decided this was definitely something that we wanted to look into in a bit more detail. Mm. So we have a youth advisory panel in the office, and we worked with the young people to come up with the questions for this. So we kind of asked them, what are you seeing in the classroom? What are you seeing in your everyday life? And that's kind of where we got to with the questions, I suppose. And that's where we went out to the young people to ask them, what their views were. And then, as you said there, we kind of came back with some things that we would have expected, in that we kind of did expect that there would be a lot of activity online, like a lot of young people live a lot of their lives online, but I suppose 63% are hearing more extreme views online than in person. So it kind of really shows the whole online side of things.
Yeah, and the problem is potentially it's grooming them to some extent, because, you know, we are influenced by what we see. And if you stay on a video for any moment of time, you're going to see more of those videos. And the reason I use that word in this context is because in real life, you know, where they exist and coexist, very few of them encounter these views. But in the online space, they're getting them, and whilst the survey might not count how often it's happening, or maybe it does, you know, this is their young minds receiving a lot of this information.
Yeah, definitely. And in the survey, we made a recommendation, you know, of what should happen to try and help young people. And what you're saying about algorithms and recommender algorithms, essentially, which is feeding that information to young people, that's something that definitely we see as a big issue for young people. And we would love to see the government asking and the commission a man looking into, you know, how can we get the social media companies to turn off those algorithms for young people? You know, that it's not the case that if you fit into a certain demographic, if you're a young person of whatever age and you're a boy, that you automatically get fed this stuff. And as you say, if you linger for a couple of seconds, then you're inundated with it. And similarly, I know there's other issues that come up for girls that they get fed. But in this case, it seems to be that these extreme ideas are definitely impacting the young boys and men definitely more. And from the very beginning of this process, like when I was saying, we were talking to our youth advisory panel, the girls were completely different to the boys. They were kind of going, no, we don't really see it that
yeah
much.
But they're seeing different stuff.
The girls
are being conditioned to a certain look, a certain way they must behave, to match potentially expectations of men. You know, poor skin advice, poor dieting advice.
Exactly.
They're being monetized in a different way. They're being monetized in a different way.
That might be something that'd be worth looking. Yeah, it would be worth looking into that a bit more on the girl side of things. But yeah, definitely, that's the issue with the algorithm.
Because the money in the boys,
that we definitely,
the money in the boys is in the tough guy, anti this, anti that. The money in the girls is somewhat different, and the algorithms are so clever because it's designed like this that they will target them based on their sex, and they're just products, which is terrible. And they're being conditioned and they're being brainwashed, which is something we should all, every responsible adult, and I'm sure they do, would like their children to get a range of information. Isn't that normal? That'd be normal if that's what we want and that's what should be available online.
Yeah, and one really positive thing that did come out of the survey, Greg, was just that 50% of students say that their parents and their guardians are the main influence in their lives, and 30% are their friends. So even though there's this like huge conversation happening online, I think it's really important that we remember that it's the in-person conversations that have such power to influence the young people.
The one thing I will say on that, Aoife, I agree with you, and that's important, but unless we get a handle on it, that scale will tip.
Definitely, yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, definitely.
Brilliant, Aoife. Thank you so very much indeed. Aoife Carraher, Head of Communications at the Ombudsman's for Children's Office. You can get more information on that by Googling it and you'll find it.